The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The hot seat on the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker, only on Money FM 89.3.
The global population growth, it's on the rise. Food productivity of farmland quickly falling behind. The only option available for us is to cut back on our meat consumption, or you could find alternative proteins. And it is estimated that about 20% of the world's population eat insects regularly. Oh gosh, I don't know how I'm going to get through this conversation. Okay, get this. By dry weight, right, crickets provide about double the amount of protein to beef. And to get 1 pound of protein, about 2,500 gallons of water is required for cattle, 800 gallons for pigs, 567 for chickens, and 1 gallon for crickets. I feel bad, but come on, crickets! Crickets require about 6 times less feed than cattle, 4 times less than sheep, 2 times less than pigs to produce the same amount of protein. The estimated volume of insect protein produced in Europe amounts to a few thousand metric tons, but the international platform of crickets for feed and food expects this to increase to 1.2 million metric tons by the year 2025, not long to go. Meanwhile, the global market value of edible insects is expected to grow from about $406 million last year to $1.18 billion by the year 2023. So pretty convincing numbers if you think about it. All this to back up the science for us to start eating insects. But does this sound appealing to you to take that leap? I'm sure my guests can convince you. In the studio this morning to explain more, the co-founders of Asia Insect Farm Solutions. Welcome to the studio, Ravi Shankar. Good morning.
Hey, hi, Elliot. Good morning.
And Yuvanesh Tamil Selvan. Good morning.
Good morning, Elliot.
Let's start first of all, if you could share a little more on when and why you started this business.
Okay, right. So for me and Yuvanesh, we actually have been fortunate enough to know each other for about 20 years, right? We happen to be in the same class for 4 years, right?
Oh, that works.
Yeah, we attended St. Patrick's School together. We got to know each other pretty well in this time, and I believe we complement each other quite well in terms of character, skill set, and so on. We always had this interest, you know, to get started on a business venture together. For me personally, I'm interested in novel ideas and things that are related to food. For Yuvanesh, it's more into tech and addressing environmental issues. So, you know, very diverse interests, and it was very difficult for us to come together on an idea where we can find a common interest. So that took us a bit long, and this happened about 5 years ago where we chanced upon this whole idea of eating insects. And then from then on, there's been plenty of research, groundwork. We spoke to many people in this field, got involved in a proof of concept, and you know, when we were ready, we actually incorporated into a company.
The moment you explain you were from St. Pat's, that's enough, really, because it's the St. Pat's boys that are brave enough, you know.
Right, right.
You just had to put it in there.
And no worries, man. Even Ash, could you get into the specifics of what each of you do?
Basically, from a day-to-day basis, Ravi does more of the business development and marketing. Mm-hmm. I handle more of the operations in the back end. For the tech part, usually I'm the guy who actually goes and tries to understand how some of the tech works.
Okay.
We look at other farms that we've been to, then we understand, you know, what's a better way of doing things. So, because, you know, Singapore is not very labor-friendly in terms of cost. When you're talking about farming, yeah, you know, we have to factor all these things in. So, you know, I like tech. So I like to look at these things. I like to read up about these things. And I like to understand and talk to people. But, of course, at the end of the day, you need some engineering background, which we don't really have ourselves. So we do work with partners and people that can actually help us to actually design systems or build, you know, to a certain spec that we need.
Yeah. Okay. And you take care of business development, right?
Right.
What are some of the challenges that you've encountered so far? I mean, how do people take to this idea?
Okay, right. I think insects, rather, is not everyone's cup of tea, right? Because when you talk about...
Look at me, right?
Right, when we talk about insects, many people have very negative connotations when they come to it. They think about cockroaches, unhygienic environments, and so on. So for us, we don't exactly focus on the insect itself. What we do is that we try to offer it on a platform where people are more comfortable with. We always like to think back of things like luncheon meat or nuggets. When you look at a luncheon meat product or McNuggets, for example, you don't exactly think of the chicken or the food products they came from. You just look at what's in front of you and how delicious it looks. So we actually offer insects in a way that is very acceptable to people. So we actually look to incorporate it in products such as bread or chips or pasta, for example. Things that people are very used to.
Oh.
So that it takes the focus away on the insects that goes into it.
Like a sausage, if you knew how a sausage was made, it's actually quite disgusting.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone's eating a hot dog right now. Yeah. Okay, and you've chosen crickets and black soldier flies as an alternative source of protein. Tell us a little bit more about that.
For both crickets and black soldier flies, they're actually for two different applications.
Okay.
We use black soldier fly mostly for feed applications, so that means animal feed or pet food. Crickets are the ones that we actually push towards the human market, the human population, because, again, like Ravi mentioned, if you look at crickets, you look at flies, crickets are the more friendlier, you know, insect. You don't really have a very negative connotation towards crickets. It's just more of like, oh, that's the guy who hops around, I see him in the garden once a while, right? So I think that's one of the reasons why we see that people are more open to eating crickets than any other insect at the moment. And I think one of the great things about crickets is that by mass, they have about 60 to 68% protein. So for every 100 grams, you have about 68 grams of protein, which is very, very high. And, you know, it's, I think proteins is one of the essential foods that we need in our body. So it's very rich in essential amino acids. It's high in dietary fiber, contains significant amounts of magnesium, 5 times more than beef actually, good source of iron, even slightly more than spinach, has 5 times more vitamin B12 than salmon, and actually contains quite a bit of calcium and vitamin D. From a nutritional perspective, you know, we see that crickets are actually a very good source of food.
I could just not eat meat anymore and turn to crickets.
That's very difficult, right? I mean, most of us, we have grown up with meat, right? We have chickens, we have pork, we have beef. I think especially in Singapore, when you walk around, you are surrounded by food, right? So it's very difficult for us to move away from things that we grew up with. So for us, we are not looking to replace meat consumption with crickets, but more of kind of like a supplement.
Okay.
So when we see meat products, you don't see meat products being used in bread or chips or pasta, for example. So when we actually replace some of the flour content that is used in these products with cricket flour, what happens is that we are actually getting our protein intake not from our traditional meat sources, but from other products, other snacks and food products that we consume regularly. We are no longer approaching it purely on protein perspective. So we have things like calcium, iron, magnesium coming in. So we are now looking at cricket as more of a wholesome food. I think the word superfood is thrown around quite loosely nowadays.
Yes.
So we're actually looking at more of a wholesome food product that actually gives you various levels of nutrition that you would need, not just in terms of protein or amino acids.
Government agency Enterprise Singapore has named urban farming, aquaculture and alternative proteins as key growth segments in agri-food technology. But really, how serious of an issue is it that we should start turning to alternative proteins? Ivanesh, you look like you got an answer.
Yeah, so I think in Singapore, food is something we really love. It's part of our culture. You know, everyone knows that Singaporeans love food. And I mean, I do as well.
Yeah.
We have a very vibrant hawker culture and a restaurant scene. We have a lot of like hipster cafes coming up all over Singapore, which I find really amazing. But I think not many people know that more than 90% of our food is actually imported from overseas. And this could potentially be a food security problem because the reliance of food leaves Singapore in a vulnerable position towards our food supply disruptions as well as shocks that may occur in source countries due to climate change. So things like this, you know, put us in a position where, hey, you know, we need to think about how can we protect ourselves, our food supply, and ensure that our population has access to good nutrition regardless of, you know, external circumstances. You know, the development of urban farming solutions and progressive technologies are really a step in the right direction towards building flexibility. That's what we think. And, you know, by integrating this into existing food systems and tapping into alternative food sources, I think we can work towards ensuring a more secure food future.
Crickets require about 6 times less feed than cattle. I'd like to ask about the process that goes into alternative farming. If you could very briefly give us the start and end point, how does it work?
Actually, I think this is not a very easy angle to approach this question because I think when you talk about technology or processes, they are really the proprietary knowledge of the company itself and how they actually go into rearing the insects or crickets, right? The thing is, many companies, some of them might depend on a lot of labor, so they're pretty much labor intensive, while we also have seen companies that implement a certain level of technology and automation. So some also, for example, they formulate their own feed for their crickets. So it's, if you are looking at the technology and processing, right, I think the part about growing crickets itself is not going to be rocket science,
okay.
But how you get it from the form of a cricket into something that consumers that can come on board with, right?
They can accept kind of thing, right?
Correct. That's so right. That's where I think the main challenge is. For example, some manufacturers might want it in the form of whole crickets and then they process it on their own. Mm-hmm. Some would prefer it on in like a sludge or, you know, like a flour-like texture that we do. I think the tech that goes into it pretty much depends on the end product that consumers want and need.
Pardon me if this question sounds ignorant. I'm sure there's some level of like approval that goes into this. Was it easy? What is involved?
Regulations are quite tricky. They're really different for each country.
Sure.
Right now, we see Western countries having some regulations in place to allow edible insects for human consumption. In Singapore, we are still talking to AVA. I mean, they've been really helpful and they're very supportive. But at the same time, you know, definitely food safety is always an issue. When you want to introduce something new to the market, you need to assess, is this going to be a good fit for the people? Is it safe for the people? And so that's something that we are talking to AVA about. And, you know, we're doing what we can to help them and give them the information that we need. But on an international level, you know, countries like America, some parts of Europe have actually opened up their doors to allow companies to actually start selling insects as food. In general, regulations are not very set in stone.
Right.
So people are still trying to figure out, okay, what's the right way to regulate this? How do we categorize these products? And how do we ensure that there is proper testing and certification that goes into this industry the way you have done it for the meat industry, you know, a plant-based industry or any other industry for that matter?
Yeah, it's just one of those things that's going to take time
exactly,
to really develop, right? You're hearing the thoughts of Ravi Shankar and Yuvan Tamilselvan, who are co-founders of Asia Insect Farm Solutions. We're talking about alternative protein, alternative farming in that sense. Being in this industry at this point, surely you are looking, the reason it's alternative is because you're going to be looking at more savings.
Yeah.
Could you give us a percentage or a number? How, when it comes to savings, what are we looking at here?
I think we do expect, you know, edible insects to be a very cost-friendly option in the long run. But, I mean, right now, if you talk about how regular farms operate, they operate at a very large scale. And, you know, insect farms have not even reached half of that or even 10% of the kind of scale that you see in regular farming. Our products currently definitely are higher priced. We have higher operating costs. And, you know, as demand increases, we really do hope that through economies of scale that we can actually bring our prices down. So, short term, not very price friendly. I don't think you save a lot of money, but definitely it's going to be good for the environment, good for you and healthier. Long term, it's going to be all of that. Plus, it's going to be more affordable than, you know, meat-based products or fish. That's our vision.
I'm imagining my kids having the
turn
to this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. Yeah.
Just also to quickly jump in on this, because I think earlier when you introduced the alternative proteins part, you touched on the food that the crickets consume, the land and water and so on. For us in Singapore, I think we want to specifically focus on the land and water aspect. So in terms of land, when you talk about the protein, the daily protein needs that the average person needs, it's significantly lesser than what you would need to actually grow chickens or pigs and cows. And also crickets, they consume much less water.
They're small anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. And crickets, they don't consume water many times a day because insects, they are able to store food and water in their body for some time. So when crickets, they consume water, they also consume significantly lesser than all the other meat products that we are looking at. In terms of land and water, which are two very scarce resources in Singapore, we believe that this can potentially be a very viable idea to actually meeting, I won't say completely, but more of some of the protein needs that Singaporeans need on a daily basis.
Now, I know you started business officially in Singapore in 2017, and I know this question can come across really early. Are you making a profit yet? If you're not, what's your forecast? Are you on track?
I'm not ashamed to say we're not making a profit yet.
It's still early.
Yeah, it's still early, and it is a tough industry. Yeah. So there was a lot of learning groundwork that we had to do. We did get some support from friends and family. Thank you to them. I'm really grateful for that. I think right now the challenge is actually growing the industry. You know, more than making a profit, I think that is going to definitely come because this industry is new. There's a lot of potential for growth. But at the start, I think we need more support in terms of regulations, not just in Singapore, but across the world. We need people to come together, build the industry, be more open about, you know, how we can actually take this industry, integrate it into the existing food supply industries that we have. So that I think to us is more of a bigger concern. If you'd say, you know, if I were to forecast, maybe we're looking at about 18 to 24 months. We expect to be profitable. So in the next 1 to 2 years, we believe we would be profitable.
That's not too bad. That's not too bad. And education is very important.
But also, I think, especially if you look at recent years, there have been significant strides made in this industry. Mm-hmm. But most notably, I think in Europe and North America, where the people recognize that there are very relevant health benefits of incorporating cricket flour into their staple diets. Mm. So, but when you look at Asia, right, we actually see Japan and South Korea are already onto this this edible insects as a protein replacement platform. But I think when it comes to Singapore, might be more effort needed to be directed towards ensuring a widespread adoption or consumption. But that being said, I think we really have received great support from Enterprise SG and other organizations overseas as well. And yeah, so like Nash mentioned, if all goes well, we are aiming to be profitable within the next 2 years.
Well, gentlemen, I wish you the best of luck. Thank Ravi Shankar and Yuvanesh Tamil Selvan, who are the co-founders of Asia Insect Farm Solutions, in the hot seat this morning. Gentlemen, thanks a lot. And I'm pleased to say thank you for educating me, and I feel less grossed out about this. That's good. That's progress.
So are you ready to try some?
No, I'm still fine.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.